Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Mindspace Business Parks REIT's earnings conference call for financial results for the quarter and year ended March 31, 2023. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this call is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kedar Kulkarni. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Kulkarni.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining this fourth quarter and financial year 2023 earnings call of Mindspace Business Parks REIT. At this point, we would like to highlight that the management may make certain statements that may constitute forward-looking statements. Please be advised that our actual results may differ materially from these statements. Mindspace REIT does not guarantee these statements or results and is not obliged to update them at any time. I would now like to welcome our CEO, Vinod Rohira, and our CFO, Preeti Chheda. They'll first walk you through the business update and the financial performance during the quarter and year. We'll then open the call to Q&A. I now hand over the call to Vinod. Over to you, Vinod. Thank you.
Thank you, Kedar. I would like to extend a warm welcome to all participants who have joined us on the call today. Financial year 2023 has been the year of returning to normalcy. After innumerable debates on future workspace strategy and several months, years of working from home, a consensus has emerged within the region that office is going to be the mainstay of future work environments, with productivity being much higher at the office. Additionally, financial year 21 and 22 witnessed a huge spike in headcounts across the spectrum of tech services, which yet did not translate into increased office footprint. During this period, we expeditiously executed the business strategy of re-energizing our parks and keeping them ready for the renewed preference for experiential workspaces with the highest standards of health, energy efficiency, wellness, ease of navigation, and safety. We were able to carry out this complex task seamlessly during the downtime with the minimum discomfort to our tenants. Over this period, we have also seen an increase in physical occupancies at our parks. Our parks have seen the physical occupancies, which fell below 10% during the pandemic, now rise to circa 56%, with occupiers now firmly working on returning to their offices. Further, organizations today desire to provide best-in-class work environments to their employees that they would look forward to visit every day, and there is a prominent shift in demand towards quality grade A assets managed by institutional asset managers. We achieved gross leasing of over 4 million square feet during the financial year 22-23. We started the year with a committed occupancy of 84.3%, which has risen by 470 basis points during the financial year to end at circa 89%. The committed occupancy at our parks in Pune, PKC and Malad are near 100%. Our parks in Madhapur and Porur have also seen the committed occupancy rise close to 95%. Healthy demand for our upgraded offerings at these locations has encouraged us to bring forward the timelines of future development in Pune and also undertake redevelopment of existing buildings at our Mindspace Madhapur Park to create long-term value to our stakeholders. Delay in the implementation of SEZ policy reforms has kept the demand for SEZ spaces muted. Representations from industry associations have been made to the government to effect the policy overhaul at the earliest. These reforms would not only bring back the demand for these office spaces, additionally helping generate tax revenues and employment by increased occupancy. As per IPC reports, calendar year 2022 was the second best year ever in terms of all India office leasing. While several markets across the globe are yet to come close to pre-COVID levels, the Indian office market has bounced back with the COVID-induced slump. The vast availability of STEM talent in India, strong IT industry, offshoring capabilities, growth of BFSI industry and overall growth of the country has made India among the most promising markets for cutting-edge technology support services at a very attractive cost base. GCCs and GICs looking for a reduction in costs and higher productivity along with young talent will continue to push forward the hiring process in the near future. This will result in a need for expansion and consolidation. With the global recessionary environment forecasted, we expect the demand for office spaces to reactivate once the global economic conditions become more stable. We continue to explore other growth opportunities within the portfolio and gear up to capitalize on third-party acquisition opportunities. On the sponsor side, they are undertaking new developments in several key micro markets of the cities we are present in, which would add to the REIT growth pipeline. We continue to move steadfast in our ESG journey with increased focus on delivering on short-term and long-term targets. Our focus on sustainable operations has resulted in 97.3% of our portfolio being certified with a minimum gold LEED IGBC certification. During the year, we have come out with our green financing framework and green leasing framework, which would serve as a guide to our financing and leasing plans. We raised our first green bond in line with the principles set out in the green financing framework. With this issuance, our collective green financing availed has increased to over 19% of our debt outstanding. We are also engaging tenants with our ESG goals, and it is critical to embedding our sustainability practices deeper within our operations. I would now like to take you through the specific operational updates for the fourth quarter. We have leased 0.6 million square feet, of which 0.5 million square feet was on account of new and vacant area leasing, and 0.1 million square feet was re-leased at re-leasing spreads of 23.8%. The committed occupancy of the portfolio rose to circa 89%. Same store occupancy stood at 89.1%. The average rent achieved on the 0.6 million square feet leasing was INR 74 rupees per square foot per month. We have handed the first phase of our data center in Airoli West to Princeton Digital Group. Our revenue from operations grew by circa 13.9% year-on-year to circa INR 5.4 billion. Our net operating income for the quarter grew by circa 9.2% year-on-year to INR 4364 million. Our distributions for the quarter stood at INR 2.85 billion or INR 4.81 per unit. We raised the INR 5.5 billion through India's first REIT level green bond issuance. The weighted average cost of debt stands at circa 7.6%. Our portfolio is now further diversified with over 200 plus tenants compared to 175 plus tenants at the end of financial year 22. We are proud to announce that Mindspace REIT is a great place to work, certified for the second consecutive year. We received health and safety certifications for 41 buildings across our portfolio. We won 4 awards at the 14th Annual Estate Awards 2023 by ET Realty and Franchisee India. Business IT Parks of the Year for Gera Commerzone Kharadi. Gera Commerzone Kharadi also won the award for the most sustainable architecture design. Our Office Buildings of the Year award for Building 9, Airoli West, and Mindspace REIT won the Commercial Developer of the Year for the Western region. With this backdrop, I hand over the call to Preeti to take you through the financial update.
Thank you, Vinod. I would now take you through the financial update for the quarter and year ending 31st March 2023. Our revenue from operations for FY23 grew by 16.6% year-on-year to approximately INR 20.7 billion. Adjusting for one-time compensation received from a tenant in Q3 FY23, the net operating income stood at INR 16.9 billion, recording a growth of 13.2 YOY. Coming to the quarterly performance, revenue from operations for Q4 FY23 grew by approximately 13.9% year-on-year to INR 5.4 billion. We recorded NOI of INR 4.4 billion for Q4, registering a growth of 9.2% YOY. Our NOI margins continue to be above 80%. We announced a distribution of approximately INR 2.9 billion, that is INR 4.81 per unit, for the quarter, recording a growth of 4.3% year-on-year. The distribution comprises approximately 91%, which is INR 4.37 per unit of dividend, which is not subject to tax in the hands of unit holders, approximately 8.9%, which is INR 0.43 per unit of interest, and approximately 0.2%, which is INR 0.01 per unit as other income. This translates to an annualized distribution yield of 6.9% on the issue price. Cumulatively, for the financial year 2023, we distributed INR 11.3 billion, which is INR 19.1 per unit. Since our listing in August 2020, we have distributed a cumulative amount of INR 27.9 billion, which is INR 47.13 per unit. To further our commitment to sustainable business practices, we recently concluded the issuance of India's first REIT-level green bond. We released our inaugural green financing framework, under which Mindspace REIT or its asset SPVs may undertake issuance of green debt securities in form of bonds or debentures. The framework is aligned with the green bond principles developed by the International Capital Markets Association. Using this framework as a guiding principle, we raised INR 5.5 billion with a three-year maturity at a fixed coupon of around 8%. Also during the financial year, we raised aggregate INR 15.4 billion through bonds across 3- and 5-year tenures. Our aim is to have an optimum mix of fixed and variable cost loans spanning across various maturities and maintain a healthy balance between fundraising from banks and capital markets. We also expanded our investor base by attracting more insurance and pension funds to invest in Mindspace REIT securities. We experienced high interest rate situation in the whole of FY23, which offset the gains we made from the growth in NOI. We are hoping the interest rates to stabilize in FY24. Our net debt as on 31st March 23 was approximately INR 50.2 billion. In addition, we have undrawn committed lines of approximately INR 13.7 billion from financial institutions. Our LTV continues to remain the lowest amongst our peers at 17.9%. Our robust balance sheet provides us the flexibility to pursue both organic and inorganic growth opportunities. In Q4 FY23, we appointed Kaizen Valtric Private Limited as the valuer of Mindspace REIT. We also appointed JLL as the independent consultant to review the methodology and assumptions used by the valuer in valuation of Mindspace REIT portfolio. Gross asset value of our portfolio as valued by the independent valuer as on 31st March 2023 stood at INR 280.2 billion, recording a growth of 2.7% over 30th September 2022. 92.7% of our value comes from completed assets. Our NAV per unit has increased by INR 1.6 per unit from INR 370.3 per unit as of 30th September 2022 to INR 371.9 per unit as on 31st March 2023. As these instruments are gaining popularity among retail investors, our retail unit holder base grew by over 25,000 unit holders during FY23. We are encouraged by this participation and shall work with industry associations and regulators to increase the awareness of this product among various categories of domestic investors. We also welcome NSE's initiative of starting a REIT and InvIT index. We hope this index would help bringing inflows into REITs and InvIT from active as well as passive funds, and thereby improve the liquidity of these instruments. We also hope other exchanges support these instruments in similar manner and consider inclusion of these instruments in the mainstream indices. With this backdrop, I hand the call over to the operator to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Puneet Gulati from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. My first question is with respect to the GAV and NAV numbers. So GAV growth has been, you know, impressive at 6.2, but NAV is only about 2% up in on a full year basis. It's largely attributable to debt. So how should we read this NAV growth number?
So hi Puneet, Preeti here. The GAV has grown by approximately 2.7% over September. And the NAV growth is 1.6 per unit. So essentially, it's been approximately 2 rupees growth. So I'm not too sure what exactly.
NAV growth has been slower than the GAV growth, right? I mean, should that be the case? Because GAV would ideally grow in line with how market rentals or your contractual escalations would move, while NAV would largely be a function of where the net debt is.
Yeah, so generally what happens is whenever as you keep adding assets in terms of completions, your NAV also grows up, but your GAV also grows up only by a similar amount. So the impact on NAV is higher than the impact on the GAV. So even if I'm just saying, as an example, if you had your completed portfolio, which would have grown by X amount, to that we add the capex which you're incurring, because that's also adding value to your GAV. But the similar amount, because it's debt funded, gets added to your NAV. Therefore, you see the GAV increase higher than the NAV.
Right. Okay. Understood. My second is the average market rentals that you report seems to have fallen on a quarter-on-quarter basis. How should we read that, and what are the market rental trends that you are experiencing?
Market rents haven't fallen quarter-on-quarter. Market rents remain stable for each of the markets that we are in. We are seeing demand not getting disrupted because of rents.
And are you seeing an improvement in the rental environment or not yet?
In micro markets, depending on at what asset cycle you are seeing actually firming up of rents.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jatin from BofA. Please go ahead.
Sure, thanks. This is Kunal Shrikatin. Happy to be on. Two questions. One, can you talk about the revisions to the expiry schedule for fiscal 24? What part of your customer base is this coming from, and what could have been the reasons here? And then, keeping in mind that you also commented that there is the outlook of a recession that needs to be incorporated into the leasing plan. How would you think of the occupancy levels from here during the course of the coming year?
So essentially, churning is part and parcel of most of these companies that you're seeing. The larger the portfolio across of India, you will have most of those large occupiers recalibrating from time to time. And this happens every 2, 3, 4 years, not just in a COVID or a pre-COVID environment. We are seeing this over the last 10, 15 years. So this is all part and parcel of their strategy to churn. And most of these cases that have come are a mixture of that. While we see them as a great, if you ask me, mark-to-market opportunity, because these spaces were actually at older rentals and we didn't have adequate supply in those markets. Leaving aside whatever might happen to the SEZ footprint, which we will figure out the denotification and take that forward. But otherwise, these become opportunities to release at mark-to-market.
Is there a category that these tenants might belong to, like either IT services or BFSI? Is there any categorization like that? Or for that matter, are you seeing that the SEZ spaces might be seeing higher exits versus non-SEZ?
No. It's a mix of everything. It's not that people are walking away from the SEZ because they don't like SEZ or whatever. It's more about what committed contracts they had taken or what footprint of jobs they were doing, for which if the demand probably has shifted, then those headcounts will move towards other headcounts that are needed for the other growth aspects, which is the churn that is taking place right now. It's not specific to SEZ or non-SEZ.
Right. And if you could give us any color around how to think about either the occupancy trend from here or the 5.6 million that of expiries that you have what could we expect in terms of the renewal percentage? Could it be a similar 75% to what we've seen in fiscal 23 or some different?
I think we've got used to this now. So you will see exits as part of the portfolio coming in and going out. As long as you get your assets in the right quadrant, you're building them right, you're keeping them right, and you're attracting top talent to come there, and you have assets where the infrastructure and the larger play is in place, you are seeing an actual shift of demand. We've seen that. Literally we had 1 million square feet of unaccounted for, not calculated for, exits that took place for us in the last financial year. within the same quarters, we were able to release back because our assets were far more attractive to the new occupier who just moved in within the same quarter. So you didn't even probably see the blip. But to us, it was a very exciting time when we had sudden churn take place and we had clients take the space back. And it actually worked out well because they liked the asset, they liked the location, they preferred it to other options that they had, and we were able to release. So we see that more in that light than anything else, honestly.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arun from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. What kind of NOI growth are we anticipating for FY24?
Hi, Arun. So I can't lay a specific number, but all I can tell is that with the leasing which has happened in FY23, the rent will from that leasing will come in FY24. So you should directionally see a growth in NOI, but I won't be able to quantify the percentage increase. And we have some more area which has got completed, so rent from that also will keep adding to your NOI.
Okay. And regarding, we all would have heard about Cognizant's commentary yesterday that they would be vacating around 11 million square feet of office space. So what impact would it have for Mindspace?
We have not heard or see any impact so far, and I don't think we will see that impact in the short-term coming future. I mean, these are all headline news that keep happening. We've gone through many headlines in the last 36 months, but it's part and parcel of business for us.
Okay. And just wanted to check on the footfall. Is it now at 47%, right?
56%
across park.
56%.
56%.
Yeah.
Okay, that's helpful. Yeah, that's it from us.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Agarwal, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, so my questions are as follows. Why is there such a big difference between actual occupancy and committed occupancy, which has been there for quite some time now? That was the first question. And why has there been a fall in like-to-like occupancy if we remove the area that has been previous, which has got added to the portfolio area, then the like-to-like occupancy, if I'm not wrong, has fallen? So I just wanted to ask regarding these two things.
Okay, so first part of the question really is because we continue to keep adding new supply into the portfolio, and that portfolio, when the under construction supply gets completed, you sign the LOIs and then it translates to lease and then the rent starts over a period of time. That's why you're seeing the difference between actual and committed occupancies. And that lag will continue because you're going on infusing new supply or re-leasing. So that lag will continue to remain. These are all committed spaces, but till they don't get converted to a lease, those are the things that you will keep seeing. And the other thing that also happens is, like I mentioned earlier, if a tenant vacated, it shows vacancy, and then by the time we got the next tenant in the same quarter and he starts the rent, that till that committed occupancy gets replaced, you're seeing that gap.
Understood. And the falling of like-to-like occupancy, sir, if I remove the pre-lease area, then if I'm not wrong, the occupancy has come down to somewhere around 82% or give or take 0.5%.
It was exactly the same logic. Our portfolio occupancy was 83.7.
Right,
it moved to 83.4. It's because Amazon left and then we signed high radius immediately. And till that gap remained, you are seeing that difference which got refilled back in.
Understood. Yes, sir, two more questions. The tax advantage that we have for distribution, do we have a sense for how long that is going to last? Because then the taxable component will increase at some point in time.
So, hi. I'm not sure of what tax advantage we're talking about. But
the distribution being tax-free significantly 90%.
Yeah. So today our composition of distribution is essentially dividend, which of course is tax-exempt in the hands of the unit holders, and a small portion is interest. Now, going forward, as I've said in the past, it all depends on the capital structure, how that shapes up, and also when we start acquiring new assets, how much does the new asset, you know, bring in terms of debt. So to the extent our capital structure changes, the composition of this composition of the distribution could undergo a change.
Do we have any sense like where how it will be headed in the next couple of years, 3 years, 5 years?
I won't be able to comment on such a long term, but at least in the immediate future, we expect this to continue as it is. And thereafter, depending on how the capital structure emerges, the composition could change.
Thank you, ma'am. And the last question, why was there a fall in the area of under construction in Airoli?
So while we continue to have the potential to build up to 2 million odd square feet in that park, the financial modeling was done around 800 odd thousand. So we've just kept it to that for the sake of simplicity. The potential continues to be there. As and when we see the opportunity, we will build.
Thank you so much. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Satinder Singh Bedi from EON Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So I got a couple of questions for Vinod and then a couple for Preeti. So Vinod, out of this 25.8 million completed area, what is the breakup of the SCZ and non-SCZ, and what is the occupancy that we have for these respective buckets?
So it's in the range of 55-45, thereabouts. From an occupancy point of view, we are 95% leased on the non-SEZ space and 88-odd% in the SEZ space.
Okay, so about 55 for SEZ, you are saying?
55 for non-SEZ, 45 for SEZ.
Okay, 55 for non-SEZ. And I'm assuming that the incremental development is mostly non-SEZ.
Yes, they're all non-SEZ.
Is any opportunity that you see in terms of being able to denotify a complete building? Do we have any such in the portfolio that helps us increase the non-SEZ without waiting for the changes in the Desh Bill?
Yes, absolutely. So, fortunately for us, between 4 and 5 million square feet are small buildings, each of 350,000 square feet in our portfolio. So, we are going on denotifying building by building, wherever we see the opportunity to offer it and bring it into the spectrum of non-SEZ supply. So we are continuing to do that while we wait for Desh and other amendments to come through to the SEZ Act.
Okay. And what is the percentage of kind of tenants in terms of area that come into GCC category, and what is IT services? And within IT services, what percentage is typically Indian IT?
So essentially, between 70 to 80 will be GCC, GICs and equivalent. The Indian companies on our footprint who are servicing global clients will be in the range of about 10-odd%.
Okay. And on this tenant improvement and free rent, so do we give out a tenant improvement allowance? And is it an investment or is it paid for by the client? So just wanted to understand.
We have not yet offered any tenant improvements to any client. If we do, we do long amortization of fit-outs for clients that we believe have stable revenues and stable rent credit. And we amortize that along in addition to the rent with lock-ins, etc.
Okay, fine. Thank you. We said the average cost of borrowing is at year-end is 7.6%. So assuming, and obviously some of these come up for renewal and some of it is anyway floating, assuming nothing changes from now, so the repo remains at the present level of 6.50, how does our interest rate move ceteris paribus through the year? So what is the incremental impact of interest?
Yeah, if you do not see any further increase in the repo rates and it remains where it is, then from the levels which we are seeing in March 23, we expect another 20 odd bits increase in the year to come, because some transmission of interest rate has still not happened, which we expect to happen now because there were resets which are spread out longer. So I would say a 20 bits is something that you would see from now.
It also includes the NCD, because that I assume that will need a quantum jump, because we got 200 crores of NCDs also coming up for renewal this year.
Yeah, but 200 crore is very small in the overall debt profile. So it's just about 200 on a 5,000. So that 200 is not going to move the needle. Essentially, this increase will come from the variable cost rate.
And what percentage of this 5,400 crores is towards capex, deployed towards capex and hence capitalized?
So essentially, most of the debt which has been raised, of course, this is a historical debt which comes in. And then you have been adding capex debt to this. So like, for example, in FY23, we have about 700-800 crore of debt which we have added because of capex. So I would say that essentially the incremental debt which will keep coming every year will be largely attributable to the capex spend.
But what portion of this 5,400 is capex linked?
Essentially, see, there's nothing like capex because all the debt which we've taken is in form of LRD or NCDs at the REIT level. So we have not taken any construction finance, if that is what you're asking. All of this is LRD debt or NCDs.
Yes, no, Kiki, my point was more from point of view of understanding the impact of this loan on the bottom line, on the distributions in terms of the interest outflow, and part of it goes towards, it gets capitalized, no? So I just wanted to understand what is the interest cost that will impact the distributions in this year. That was the best.
Yeah, yeah. So the interest cost, whatever we are going to incur going forward, I mean, in this current year, will obviously all be on account of capex, so that will get capitalized. And approximately, I would say, close to around 50-odd crore interest is something which we expect to get capitalized.
Okay, I'll probably take it offline. Okay, thank you. I've got some more questions. I'll come later. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shashank Chawla from Somerset. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on the vacant space. So can you give an idea of how much of that is SEZ and non-SEZ? And then in terms of your plan to convert some of the space into non-SEZ, where are we in that process?
Sure. So we have about close to 800,000-900,000 of vacancy in the non-SEZ and about 1.6 odd million in the SEZ. Out of that, one building of 400,000 square feet is on the verge of denotification, which we will get through in the coming quarter, which will get released for non-SEZ leasing. And then the rest we will keep following up in the pipeline.
Right. And so there's no progress on the base bill or when it might be implemented?
We don't have visibility on when it will come. It's, a lot of representations made, a lot of interactions going on. When it comes is really anyone's guess, but we have to kind of wait for that. But our plan B of denotifying is already in place.
Right. Okay. And if I remember correctly, like this was a couple of quarters back, then you had mentioned by end of FY23, you might see the occupancy about 90% or something. So we are shy of that. So what's your expectation of how occupancy is trending in the future? Or would it necessarily have to sort of wait for the base bill before we can actually see occupancies move up meaningfully?
We don't necessarily have to wait for this. We certainly have to get the denotification process sorted out so that we can see movement towards getting that vacancy occupied. So it'll be a process that we will follow, and while the churn will give us opportunity to release at higher mark-to-market opportunities.
Right. Okay. And just on the Chennai region, so I remember in the previous calls you mentioned that from committed to actual occupancy takes like 2 to 4 months on average. But in Chennai, we've seen like committed occupancy was at 60% in second quarter, 90% in third, and 90% in fourth, whereas the actual occupancy hasn't moved up from 33%. So is there a reason
why? So the client's fit-outs are actually going on as we speak, and they should be operational within this coming quarter, followed by the next quarter, because they have taken space in tranches. Now it's 97% let.
Okay, fine. And the other thing is just there was some exception of 1.4 billion for this year. I just wanted to check what that amount is. And I'm guessing this is a non-cash, so it doesn't have any impact on any of the cash flows. But if you can throw some light on that.
Yeah, so that's actually the write-off of the building, which is gone under redevelopment. So under the Indian accounting standards, you need to write off the amount because the building is getting demolished. So it's just a write-off and it's a non-cash item.
And how was this value in the gross asset value or the NAV? Like, was it valued at the high amount and that's
been obviously, that's the reason we are doing the redevelopment. So what happens is the NDCF of the revised, as in the new redeveloped asset, is what is considered in the GAV.
Right. Okay, fine. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah,
thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Lakhan from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, Vinod and Preeti. Vinod, I know you addressed this question earlier, but just again, like, you know, trying to, you know, pick your brain on this, that, you know, the whole Cognizant, you know, commentary, right, in terms of 11 million square feet is a very stark number, even on a, you know, all India portfolio, right, of say 600, 650 million square feet. That's like 2%, and that's just one occupier, right? And what I'm trying to understand is, like, you know, have we been, you know, having these discussions, or have we been getting these indications from, you know, these IT services guys on these lines of, like, you know, of, you know, they adopting this, you know, tier two city strategy, or, like, you know, hybrid being a large part of their, you know, model essentially going forward, and, you know, could this be a trend going ahead which may get adopted by, you know, other IT players? Just wanted to, you know, understand your thoughts on this.
No, these are motherhood statements. I don't know if you remember some time ago, TCS said 90% will be work from home. And they flipped, said 90% will be work from office. So these are all, I mean, these are news articles which are giving you information about companies who are looking at surrendering back space, or they're looking at reducing headcount. But these are a process of 12 to 18 months. Some of it is already implemented and done with in the last 1 year. And this is a constant churn with multiple companies. You may have seen Amazon in the last 1 year gave up between 2 and 3 million square feet, 4 million square feet. Accenture gave up 3, 4 million square feet. All of these are part and parcel of their business strategies. And when the business bounces back, they come back and take spaces in 500,000 and million square feet really quickly. So we've seen that happen on and off across of the last couple of decades of being in this trade. So we don't really get perturbed by all of this. We see what our asset is like, what is the mark-to-market opportunity, where can we place that asset, if at all anything like that happens within our portfolio. Right now, we don't have any such indication, but we are always ready because our portfolios are right up there, and there are customers who are looking for space to take up, and we are happy to release. So it's part and parcel of business.
Sure, fair enough. Just on those lines only, like, now, what is the profile of the customers who are actually, you know, kind of looking to take up more space? And, you know, just a related question on that is, if you can also, like, you know, give some color on, you know, your discussions with say, you know, GCCs and say non-GCCs or largely, you know, IT services companies. Look, how are they thinking about on the office expansion plan?
Sure. So, you know, the third-party service providers are taking a lot of space right now because in some way there is a capex freeze with the larger GCCs, GICs for incremental investments for the short term. At the same time, they want headcount. So we are seeing a lot of the third-party service providers, especially in the tech and in the financial services sector, getting additional demand for seats to service. And those players have taken a lot of space in the last couple of quarters, and we continue to see that trend going forward. Then there are some large tech companies who are doing cutting edge tech for 5G and related equipments, where they have labs and technology within India for their global practices. We have seen them grow significantly and continue to ask for more space. So there are green shoots of demand coming out of all of these spaces, and they are looking for space and they are growing. Obviously, the large RFPs are not there. Those large RFPs will probably not be there for the next 2, 3, 4 quarters. but you will continue to see demand for 50, 100,000, 150,000 square foot on a constant basis. And that is really exciting because that's where the churn gets used. When it's million, 2 million square feet, generally conversations around build to suit. They don't generally fall into the bucket of speculative commercial leasing space. So the smaller demand is really attractive because we have space to offer.
Sure, sure. And just lastly, one data point. You know, what would be the percentage of area occupied by IT services companies, this excluding the GCCs?
You're saying third-party services?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are different segments you can call as third-party. Essentially, what we would kind of put it on a pie chart, you will see technology and process is almost at 46%. Financial services would be about 18-19%. You'll have telecom and media at about 8-9%. You have engineering and manufacturing related tech at 7.5%. You have healthcare and pharma at 5.5%. E-commerce at about 2%. Professional services are about 6%. So all of these combinations are working through. Now in this, if you factor for third party, I mean, let's look at, for example, third-party services being done by L&T, TCS, Wipro, Infosys, they would probably, the non-GCC areas in that sense for third-party, including some of the global players, would be about 50-odd percent, and GCCs would be 50-odd percent.
Got it. Thanks so much, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Baiswala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you and good evening, everyone. First question is on the ROFO asset. Looks like the Raidur project is kind of shelved. It's fully completed, fully leased. So what's why has sponsor decided not to go ahead with it?
No, I don't think we've just deferred that. We were just waiting for stable full occupancy of Qualcomm to take place and for them to exercise their option for the space, etc. So I think this will be very much on the offing in the coming quarters. We are very keen to take this in the REIT. It's an absolute AAA grade asset.
Okay.
No, and Sameer, we'll just wait. I know, as we had said, that we'll also wait for the markets to improve a little before we get that asset. But for sure, we are very keen to take this asset into the REIT.
There's no change.
There's no question of it being shelved.
Okay, I'm a little confused just because until last Q3, it was under very active evaluation, and now that it's fully leased and completed, now we are kind of, you know, taking some time off. So it's more to do with,
you know, the market is improving a little for us to get that asset into the portfolio. But
we're very keen to get it.
Yeah, we're very keen to take it in.
In fact, there are some more assets in the ROFO which have now got completed and let. So we will start looking at those as well to be infused at a relevant time.
Okay, got it. The second question is on the NDCF for fiscal 24. Preeti, I mean, you know, if you can just help us on two things, A, the pluses and minuses. I understand NOI would grow and some marginal uptick in interest. So how does this play out into NDCF, or are there any more pluses and minuses we need to keep in mind? And second is, in fiscal 23, you got the benefit of 120 crores from Pocharam proceeds. So how do you plan to make up for that in fiscal 24?
Yeah. So Sameer, if we don't have too many surprises in the years to come, then obviously we are hoping the NOI to see a healthy growth. But some of that NOI obviously will be eaten up by the increase in the interest cost, both on account of, you know, the additional capex. And capex, of course, will not affect your NECF. But because there has been an increase in interest cost versus last year, so to that extent, interest costs will go up. And then, of course, second is also because of the interest rate. And secondly, we are hoping that in the year to come, we would not be having any form of income support. We should be able to manage with the operating cash flows. So to that extent, to answer the second part of your question, we may not really need to have another Pocharam kind of proceeds. So that's broadly how I look at NDCF for the next year.
Okay. No, this is excellent. Preeti, if we are going to kind of unwind the income support.
Yeah.
And just final question, Vinod, how do you see 89% committed occupancy over, say, next 12 months?
So the way I see it is actually in the non-SEZ, we have hardly any space left. So I was wishing we would have got more supply really quickly, which we are preponing construction. So I'm hoping whatever churn comes, if it comes, we are able to reuse it back quickly. Some churn may come, and we are actually waiting for that because we have no real supply in the non-SEZ. At the same time, our focus is really to push the SEZ denotification for wherever we have independent buildings which we can denotify, so that we can bring in that vacancy into use and get that to occupancy. That's the only thing that's kind of dragging us right now. Otherwise, we are seeing demand in those micro markets.
Okay, so I guess out of 1.6 million square feet SEZ, 0.4 goes out, so gets denotified, so 1.2 on a total base of 25 million. So roughly about kind of mid-90s is where you can potentially move.
We hope to reach there. In Pune, we are 100% already let fully, and that's why we are trying to bring the under-construction building much more earlier in. In Hyderabad, Madhapur, we are almost 95.5% let. I'm hoping there's some churn there because the rents for the old occupiers are really low. And this has become a grade A asset in Hyderabad for us. So whatever churn comes, we will be able to mark to market it really well.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Satinder Singh Bedi from UN Investments. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the follow-up. Vinod, how do we measure the physical occupancy? So because this term is highly nebulous. So when you say 56%, how do you define this?
So there are different measures because there's no straight line matrix. We count cumulatively headcount per week of the people that came in to work. In certain offices, it is 3 days a week. In some offices, it's every alternate day. But cumulatively, let's say, for example, we have 11 million square feet in a park. So on a thumb rule basis of 1 in 100, we should have 1.1 lakh people. If there is 56,000 people coming in and out every week, cumulatively, not cumulative, on a daily basis, then that's our occupancy.
Okay, fine. And I think that seems reasonably scientific, okay. Second, Samir asked a question earlier. I don't know, we are talking about the same assets. So this this Kerr Avenue 98, BKC NX. So this was one of the assets being considered for acquisition earlier, and this presentation, there is no mention of it. So any update on this, please?
Sorry, we were not able to hear you right. The words were little fresh.
I don't know if Samir's question was for the same asset. So there was this mention of the Square Avenue 98 BKC NX being mentioned as one of the assets being considered for acquisition. This time, it has not been included. Okay. So any rethink on this asset?
So we were bundling it together, which is why we waited on it. The same, that asset will also get into the portfolio.
Okay, fine. And Preeti, what is this for housekeeping? What is the value of unit capital that is left? I understand most of the payouts at this stage are in the form of dividend and the balance is interest, so no capital is getting paid out. But what is the total value of unit capital, in the REIT?
So the total value of unit capital, so at the time of IPO, obviously 16,800 crore was what came in. So that was a unit capital, but obviously you would see adjustments to that. I think that may not be too relevant in terms of measuring, especially if you're looking at the distribution.
Okay. Yeah. So, how should one look at the future capital structure, which now that, okay, there's clarity on this part, that the repatriation of capital is tax-free till it winds down to zero. So how does one look at the future capital structure planning when looking at future acquisitions, because this becomes a tool for
an efficient return of capital.
Yeah. So yeah, you're right. The much awaited clarity on this piece has actually emerged, and we are thankful to the government for clarifying it. So as of today, we are not doing any of that. But as I said earlier in the call, that in future, it depends upon the capital structure. If there is, you know, a need arising for which we need to do a similar structure, we would do. And now, of course, it's pretty efficient from a tax perspective also with this amendment. So it will all depend on how our capital structure emerges in the years to come. Our acquisitions, when the acquisitions happen, with what debt profile do those acquisitions come in? And, you know, what kind of efficiencies which we can bring into the capital structure. So I think it will be a combination of various things. But, you know, as I said, in the immediate future, we see that the maximum payout will continue to be by way of dividend itself, because we have entities which are generating a good amount of distribution through dividends.
Okay, okay. One final on the LDCF. So for Kriti, we have 235 crores of capex during this quarter. And we had 20 crores of positive working capital flow also. But we've drawn down 261 crores, okay, of net financing. So I hope some of this drawdown is not going towards supporting the distributions, because actually the capex was 235, and we had 20 crores of support from working capital this quarter. So against the 215, we've drawn down 261. Although I understand we've retained about nine crores at the SPV level, okay, at the REIT level, because we paid out lesser than what we got from the SPVs, but still that's about 38 crores of gap.
Yeah, so what happens is that generally working capital is a number which keeps changing quarter on quarter, and therefore you will see some quarters where the working capital is high, some quarters where the working capital is low. So to that extent, wherever we have a little bit of shortfall, that's where you will see this net debt getting up, because that's the interim NDCF that we are bridging. And as I said to Sameer also, that in the year to come, we are hopeful that we should not have this going forward, but we'll of course have to see if there are no further surprises in the year to come. I mean, we should have very minimal or nothing of this. Of course, there will continue to be quarter-on-quarter working capital adjustments which will come, because that's, again, something which depends on how the cash flows move every quarter. But overall, in the year, we should not expect much of this.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Preeti. Thank you, Vinod.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, on behalf of Mindspace Business Parks Fleet, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.